Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 99 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on February 15th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as I have been for the past 2 years, by my good friend and co-host, Peter Mandel.
Oh, man, I didn't know where to jump in there.
Yeah. No, it is our two-year anniversary episode.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that pretty crazy? Yeah, we launched the first episode on February the 13th, 2014, and here we are in 2016.
I still think about us recording that first episode.
I know, seriously.
Folks, I remember.
We are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete, I just wanted to get rid of the music so we could talk about that.
Oh, all right.
So you remember recording the first episode in the shop there, like, sitting at that card table.
Yep.
Not knowing, like, if anyone was ever going to listen or...
Oh, I didn't think anybody would listen.
No, and I remember, like, that first day, like, I came in the next day, I'm like, dude, we got 40 downloads. You were like, 40 downloads? And, like, we were so excited that we, like, 60 people listened or something like that. Or, like,
do you remember we were convinced for a while it was people who just wanted to learn English?
Yes. We were convinced of that for a while. And then, you know, we were like, oh my gosh, we got 100 people. I am super thrilled to report that now, 2 years later, for the month of January 2016, we had 10,126 Mousers tuning into the show in the month of January. So
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I cannot thank you guys out there enough for putting, you know, giving us your time, giving us your attention, and downloading this show. We always really supremely appreciate it. All right, Pete, so you ready to jump into the news this week?
Yes, I am.
For the 99th time. The news this week brought to you by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Dave Weikert, Disney expert, and now newly Universal Studios expert, Dave Weikert.
Get better, Dave.
Yes, feel better, Dave. Dave was supposed to be joining us in studio today, but he's feeling a tad under the weather. So, but we will be having Dave Weikert in studio to answer your questions about Walt Disney World. And I'd like to actually do like a special focus on Universal questions for this coming episode. For that episode, that will be episode 101, which will air in 2 weeks. So get your questions in. Write them up on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/twomenandthemouse, or you can send it to questions@twomenandthemouse.com. We look forward to answering your Disney and Universal questions in 2 weeks alongside Dave. Of course, next week for our big 100th episode, we've got Disney legend Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy, coming in. So we're all excited for
that.
Yeah,
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, super duper exciting. Okay, so we got some worldwide news first, Pete.
Okay.
Disney has filed a new drone patent. This one for drone flown projection screens.
Okay.
What are they planning?
I don't know. I was just going to ask you that.
So these drones can carry projection screens up into the air. This patent was filed as far back as July 2014. So we Disney has been filing these patents for these drones and have been requesting changes to Florida law that will enable them to fly drones over Walt Disney World and California law too, Walt Disney World and Disneyland. To be able to use in nighttime shows, which you know they'll get it.
Of course, I hope so.
Yeah, and I can only imagine what the nighttime shows will be, which is, you know, apropos for this week because we're talking about nighttime shows, but what will they be like when we're able to utilize drone technology?
I know. I would like a drone that looks like Tinkerbell.
I would like a drone that looks like Dumbo.
That'd be pretty cool. Big drone, though.
Yeah, it'd be big elephant drone. All right, Disney Springs news. Have you ever gone into the co-op?
Nope.
I love the co-op. as someone who frequents Disney Springs quite often, the Co-op is one of my favorite stores in Disney Springs. But one area of it is going to be replaced. The Zoe and Pickles, kind of like a hipster, like girl power, like girl apparel and accessory store. Okay. It's going to be replaced by the Disney Tag Shop. So what does Tag stand for, you might be asking?
I am asking that.
Travel accessories and gear.
Oh, I saw something on this.
Yeah, they put a big thing on there was a big post on the Disney Parks blog about it where they did like their unboxing and they kind of like went through a lot of the merch. Things like a Haunted Mansion face mask and matching travel pillow, a passport wallet, document organizers, themed suitcases, suitcase tags, suitcase straps, just all stuff that you need as a traveler, which I think is a great idea for Disney.
I agree.
That's going to be big, though, because the Zoe and Pickles area is pretty large. Of course, my favorite area in the co-op is the they've got like a kitchenware shop kind of towards the back,
right,
where you can get all sorts of like really cool like attraction themed plates and salt and pepper shakers and things like that. So I really like that a lot. They also have an Adventureland throw blanket that if anyone's ever looking for a gift for me, that's my choice.
Are you saying I should buy you a Christmas present?
You know, if you think about it, my birthday's coming up in a few months, so you know, just throwing it out there to everybody. So, in resort news, the Disney's Polynesian Village Resort Oasis Pool continues to near completion. This is basically, they built a whole new pool in place of the original Quiet Pool. Yeah, the original Quiet Pool at the Polynesian Village Resort is just kind of, it was just kind of a pool. Just kind of there in the middle. It was quiet. Ducks swam in it sometimes. Right. But have you seen pictures of what it looks like, what it's going to look like when it opens?
No, is it awesome?
It's completely awesome. It's gorgeous. There's now an Oasis Bar and Grill next to it. They've expanded the deck, they've added more shade, they've installed restrooms near there, which this is why it took so long to build the thing. Like, the Polynesian Village Resort's amenities have been like up and running for some time now, but this is the last piece of the puzzle. And they've also built an entirely new pool. Like, the pool is completely new,
right?
So yeah, in water park news, Blizzard Beach continues to have technical issues, Peter Mandel. We reported last year there were some issues with Summit Plummet and Slush Gusher.
Right.
Even after the lengthy refurbishment that the park went under, it seems that these are still a problem. On February 12th, the opening of Blizzard Beach was delayed into the afternoon. We don't know anything other than it was still related to the same issue with the pumps on Summit Plummet and Slush Gusher. It did open later, and it opened without the downhill double dipper slide.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Now, I know this would never happen with like Magic Kingdom or Epcot or something like that. But let's say, okay, like water park, delayed opening, not opening till afternoon. Okay. Bus comes to pick you up. Do they tell you this?
Interesting question. I don't know.
Or are they like bringing you all the way there and then being like, oh, by the way, we're just going to wait here because you're not really going to go in here.
I got to think they're not. Like, I got to think there's got to be something there to let you know that it's not opening that early.
But I mean, if that park is, I don't know how long, you know, 1 o'clock or whatever you said opening is, like past yeah. like opening time.
Well, I mean, they open typically at like 9 o'clock. So,
all right. So many hours. Like, are they like giving you a heads up? Or are they like, hey, wait right here?
Interesting question. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that. They definitely should. So in Magic Kingdom, we are saying goodbye to a lot of things this week.
Yeah. All right. Now give me this list.
Oh, so the first thing is very near and dear to my heart. I know this probably means nothing to you because you probably never had it, but you would have liked it. The sweet and spicy chicken and waffle sandwich is gone from Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, you know, I saw that on the menu when I was there.
Oh, it was like my favorite thing to eat in Magic Kingdom.
I mean, no, I didn't have it, but it sounds super good.
It was sweet and spicy chicken strips and arugula on a nice warm Belgian waffle. It was only available up until, I believe, 4:30 in the afternoon. And then you couldn't get it for the rest of the day, which should have been immediate, like, oh, maybe this is on the chopping block, but it is now gone. It's been removed from the menu completely. And a part of me died along with it. Also leaving another thing that's very near and dear to me, the stepsisters, Anna and Drizella and Lady Tremaine will be leaving the Magic Kingdom, where they do meet and greets, usually right outside Cinderella Castle in the back over by Fantasyland. They will be leaving, the Magic Kingdom, I believe sometime in April.
Okay.
They can still be found, however, at 1900 Park Fair. This is now ready for the biggie. I saved the big one for last.
Yeah, hit me.
Dream Along with Mickey is going bye bye.
Really?
After 10 plus years in operation.
All right, but does that bother you?
A little bit, but you know, like earlier today, I read the like there was like a whole thing about like, oh, Dream Along with Mickey is going, and I was like, what the heck? Like, it was just like yet another like thing they were taking away, and I was really really mad about it. But they just announced, like breaking news, just announced the replacement show, and it actually sounds pretty awesome.
Give it to me.
Okay, so it's going to be called. So I'll just read the press. Against the majestic backdrop of Cinderella Castle, Mickey Mouse and his friends welcome favorite characters from some of Disney's newest classics, The Princess and the Frog, Tangled and Frozen. In Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair, Mickey and his troupe of merrymakers have been preparing to host a joyous festival and have ventured far and wide to invite friends from other lands to join their celebration. From the land of the bewitching bayous, Goofy has invited Tiana, Naveen, and Louie to add a little spice of New Orleans jazz to the party. From the land of the enchanted woods, Donald Duck brings some new friends he met at the Snuggly Duckling, and Daisy introduces us to her special guests, Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. Finally, Mickey shares a surprise with Minnie and has traveled to the land of the Mystic Mountains to invite Olaf, Anna, and Elsa, who contributes a blast of her icy magic. It all culminates in a grand dance as the merrymakers invite all their special guests to join in the fun on this special day in the Magic Kingdom Park. Marking the first appearances by Tiana and Rapunzel in a show at the castle stage, Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair brings life to beloved Disney stories, both classic and contemporary, in a spectacular performance featuring an original song, memorable music, lively dancing, and special effects magic. Look for Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair to make its debut in summer of 2016.
That sounds pretty good.
Actually, that sounds really awesome. Like,
yeah, I like it.
I was worried. I was like, oh no, they're going to take away Dream Along with Mickey and it's going to be like Elsa and Friends present Frozen. And I was going to be livid, but no, like this actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it sounds great.
I like that you're including Princess and the Frog. I like that you're including Tangled, and obviously they have to include Frozen. Which, you know, I do like Frozen. It's just, you know, enough. We have enough.
Oh, come on. It's never enough.
No, it's enough. So, I mean, how do you feel about Dream Along with Mickey? Like, do you guys still stop and watch it?
No. I don't know if I ever really stopped and watched it.
Really?
But, you know,
never?
I mean, yeah, I've seen it, but you see it in passing, you know?
Right.
I mean, we watched some of it this time just in passing. We happened to be at the hub when it was going on. I like it. I mean, I like it a lot.
I mean, I love watching Goofy and Donald dress up as Hook and Smee. Like, it's a fun show.
It is fun. But, I mean, when they take something like that away, I know they're replacing it with something.
Right. And that's the other thing. Like, there's lots of characters going away this week that we're going to talk about. But, you know, they're replacing them with other things. It's just they haven't gotten around to announcing them yet. So, like, it's easy. Like, and I know I fall victim to this, too. Like, when I hear that they're taking things away, I get mad. But I have to remind myself that they're replacing it with something. So, speaking of which, in Epcot news, things that are coming, Frozen Ever After and Royal Summer Host Meet and Greet are scheduled to open in summer of 2016.
Okay.
This was announced in the Mickey Monitor magazine that goes out to annual pass holders, which I got. Originally scheduled for spring of 2016. So I remember there was originally talks of like March or something like that, which obviously isn't happening. It has been pushed back to the summer. And I noticed that originally there were no construction walls outside of the old the attraction, the old Maelstrom. But now not only do they have the walls up, they have a full construction scrim up now, Peter Mandel.
Right. I know. I saw it when I was there.
Which, yeah. So clearly they're making some aesthetic changes to the outside.
Meanwhile, I'm pretty excited about it.
Did you see like this summer house meet and greet location for Anna and Elsa? That seems like it's going to be pretty awesome too, because there's like a skeleton of it up right now. Like you can see the steel. Like it's going to be a pretty tall structure.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, so attractions and shop hours are going to be reduced at Epcot as of this past weekend. So Pixar's Short Film Festival originally was closing at 9. It now closes at 7 p.m. every night. The Imagination Pavilion will also be closing at 7. Originally, it was closing at 9. Agent P's World Showcase Adventure, closing at 6 p.m., originally closed at 8:15. Living with the Land closes at 7 p.m. Mouse Gear will be open 1 hour after park open and close 1 hour before park close.
That seems ludicrous.
Yeah, I know.
I'm serious. That makes no sense. Am I right?
You figure it would just be open the entire time, right?
Right. I mean, how many people are leaving the park and are like, oh, let's stop in there and get
right,
that thing
course.
You wanted?
Three meet and greet locations are also leaving. Aurora is leaving France.
Okay.
I feel like Aurora always kind of gets the end of the stick, you know?
Well, yeah, I get that.
She's not in Festival of Fantasy. They just kind of like, they took her out of Princess Fairy Tale Hall. They took her out of Epcot now. I mean, I also read that the reason they took her out was that Marie from Aristocats, like, steals all her heat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's such a great location to meet Marie. Yeah. I mean, I've met them both there, but.
Because now, like, France, you have Marie and you have Belle. So you have a lot to do there.
Yeah, but you know, it's weird. They're so far apart.
They are. I mean, Belle is so far over, she's almost in Morocco.
I wish we could meet Belle at where Marie is. Because it's such
maybe
a lovely little area.
Aurora had that little area over the side. Maybe you put Belle over there, you put Marie over there, and you put Belle. You can reshuffle. Because Belle didn't really have a meet and greet area. She was just kind of there.
Well, it is a little area, the way that, you know, the line kind of fits in the structure.
Yeah, but you can rearrange it now.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh and Friends will no longer be greeting in the UK pavilion. So that's upsetting. I like Winnie the Pooh being in the UK.
That doesn't bother me. I mean, but I also never meet them there.
Well, I mean, there are other, you know, Magic Kingdom is the place to go to meet Pooh Bear and Friends. You can,
right.
I think you can also meet them in Animal Kingdom, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I've met them there 1,000 times. I never meet them in Epcot anyway.
Right. And Chip and Dale will be leaving from outside the character spot, which I know you always went to that one.
I know, and they weren't there this time.
Yeah.
It was a little crazy. But, I mean, again, it's okay because we normally head over to, Garden Grill at night for dinner for our first din.
Right.
So we see them there. But it was weird that they weren't there at all. Like, I was a little taken aback by that.
Right. Also, Joy and Sadness will be coming into the Epcot character spot.
Oh, well, I'm glad about that.
Very soon, apparently. So. Look for that soon.
I was really kind of hoping to catch them this trip, but it's all right.
I'm hoping that Epcot character spot will become like the new place for like where the new Disney movies go.
I would like that.
Because since they closed the animation courtyard, there really is no place to meet like the current. Like that was always where you met the current stars, you know?
I know. And I got to be honest with you. That's what I loved about it. You know, you go over there, you're going to get Sorcerer Mickey, you're going to get Minnie, and you're going to get whoever like the newest thing is, which was great.
And you were always able to get the Incredibles there too, which now you can't get them anywhere.
And it's weird because, you know, like the wait for whatever was new there was always kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind. I was inside. It was air conditioned. Yeah. I was like, I let the kids sit on the floor, which I don't normally do. You know what I mean? Like, I loved it. You know, I thought it was great.
In DAC news, Disney's Animal Kingdom, new concept art was released in the recent Mickey Monitor for Rivers of Light. I mean, it looks amazing.
I can't wait.
Yeah. If you could find these online, folks, it almost looks like it's like an Aurora Borealis effect with like visions of animals in it. I'm not quite sure how it's going to translate in real life, but I mean, it looks pretty incredible. I saw the construction of the arena last time I was in DAC. And because there was like a little rip in like in one of the scrims, so I kind of looked through.
They have little holes so you can see through on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a phantasmic level of like. Did you look and see?
Of course, I took pictures.
Yeah, it's like a phantasmic sized area.
Right.
So it's gonna be pretty major. The refurbishment of Cali River Rapids was supposed to end on the 12th. They have extended it into March.
Okay.
So, still can't go on Cali River Rapids. It's starting to heat up here, though. People are going to want to go on that soon, I think.
I know. The day I was there, it was so hot. I totally wanted to go on it, but...
Ugh. The one time you wanted to actually go on that ride.
Well, now that my... Well, it's so funny. You know, now my kids are kind of into, like, rides where you get wet. Although, I did make the mistake of, in Universal, taking them on Bluto's.
I was just going to say, did you go on Bluto's Bill-Drap Barge?
Well, yeah, we did. The problem was, Bluto's, you don't really get wet on it.
You get, like, destroyed.
Yeah. Like, You might as well just be completely submerged in water.
Well, you are at one point. Even if you manage to get lucky enough to avoid like all like the waterfalls and stuff like that, there is one point where you just go under a waterfall.
Yeah, and it's not like, oh, like a waterfall. It's like a thick, like it's like 12 inches thick of water that you're going through.
Yep.
It's crazy. And they didn't love that so much. But
you could have just taken them on Jurassic Park or Dudley Do-Right.
It's true. Dudley Do-Right was closed.
What was it? You get really wet on Dudley Do-Right. Because,
and
like,
Abby
that
did
is...
not want to do Jurassic Park. So.
Oh, yeah, I could imagine. Jurassic Park, I mean, that is a steeper, if at least it feels, I'm not sure like the exact dimensions, but like it feels like a much steeper drop than Splash Mountain.
I believe that.
Yeah, like, and you're going like right from like under the T-Rex, so. Okay, so here's another one. Churros and jalapeno pretzels have been removed from all snack kiosks in Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
I know you and I have talked about this already.
An entire park where you can't get a churro.
That's a sin because churros are wonderful. But that jalapeno pretzel, that thing should be
dead. You don't like it, I know, right?
You know I love jalapenos. I mean, I eat jalapenos. I mean, because I had jalapenos for dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. I eat jalapenos in almost anything.
Right.
I love them. I told you the story about the guy who sold me. I didn't even pay for my jalapeno pretzel. The guy gave it to me for free. I told you this, right?
No, I don't think so.
A couple years back, I'm in studios, and we're like, hey, we're just going to sit on the curb for a little bit and have a snack. Let's go get a pretzel. So I'm like, I'll go get it. You guys sit down. So I go over to get the pretzel, and I'm like, ooh, jalapeno pretzel. I totally want to get that. I know the kids don't want it, but I'm like, I'll get them something else. Right. So I go up there and I order. I'm like, hey, how is this? A lot of times I'll ask, even at a cart, definitely at a restaurant, hey, how is this? Like, have you eaten it?
Right.
And I'm like, how is the jalapeno pretzel? The guy looks at me and he's like, well, do you like jalapenos? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, then you won't like it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Which somehow led into like a 5-minute conversation about my t-shirt.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, this is cool. So I'm like, you know what? Just give me this pretzel here. I don't remember which one I got. I'm like, just give me that pretzel and I'll be good.
Right.
So I go, I bring it over to the kids. I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, I really do want a pretzel though. And that place doesn't have regular pretzels. So I'm like, I'm going to go get the jalapeno pretzel. I'll get it. Well, who cares?
Right.
So I walk over there. I'm like, you know what? I know what you're saying. I'm going to give it a shot. And the guy is like, takes the pretzel out of the thing and hands it to me. And I'm like, I'm going to use the snack option. He's like, nope. On me. I love your t-shirt.
Oh, there you go. Magical
moment.
I'm like,
really? Which infuriated my wife. You know that. So,
because you got something for free? Like,
my wife hates when people like comment on like my t-shirts.
Why? They're awesome.
I know they are, but she doesn't think they're awesome. So I went back and I was like, I just thought it was very funny. And I got to tell you, I ate this pretzel. The guy could not have been more honest.
Mm-hmm.
It is jalapeno flavored. It is like artificial jalapeno. It has nothing to do with jalapeno.
There's
not
no
that
jalapenos
I expected
in
it to be hot. I mean, we're in Disney World. I didn't think they were going to like hit you with some crazy, you know, pepper.
Right.
But like, no, it is like artificially flavored.
Ghost chili pepper in the middle of Disney World.
Right. But I mean, it wasn't even that. It was like someone was trying to chemically create the flavor of jalapeno. It was not good.
Well, they're gone from DAC. But how about churros not being in DAC anymore?
Yeah, that's weird. Churros are, you know.
I mean, you get them in every other park. I mean, you get churros everywhere.
Right.
Pretty sure you can get churros in the other three parks and the water parks and downtown and Disney Springs.
Right. You should.
And most of the resorts, probably. But if you would like the jalapeno pepper, the jalapeno pretzel, they are still available. The only place you can get them now is Epcot's Block and Hans in World Showcase. So they're almost expunged.
Well, I get that.
I had the sweet cream cheese stuffed pretzel in Hollywood Studios.
That's the one I got for the kids.
Yeah, I got that about a month or two ago, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that's the one I know I got for the kids.
It was like a big version of like the Wawa pretzel, basically.
Right, okay.
All right, so Disney's Hollywood Studios news brought to you by thecookandwookie.com for all of your recipe needs. That is thecookinwookie.com. Sales of tickets for Club Villain have resumed for dates in March.
Okay.
Club Villain takes place inside the Club Disney area over by Rock and Roller Coaster. It is on Tuesday and Saturday nights. They have raised the already outrageous price of $99 a person to a whopping, Peter Mandel, $129.
Wow, that's an increase. What do you get at this thing?
I mean, your food is included. I want to say your drinks are included, too. But, like, that's an increase. Like, $30 a head.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's like a show, like a cabaret show and dance party with like the villains. But like, again, this is not inclusive of your Hollywood Studios ticket,
right?
Which again, you know, in a world in which you're going to suddenly be closing down most of Disney's Hollywood Studios, maybe you offer something, you know, like this at a discount because it's, you know, or just include it in the price of admission because it is, you know, an experience that you can actually have there other than like half the park being closed down.
Right.
I actually wanted to add a little like section at the end of the news from now on about Universal news.
Oh, okay. Okay. You getting into Universal. I remember when you hated it.
I did. I used to hate it. I do love it now.
Okay.
But I don't love, so speaking of price increases, Universal has raised the price of their ticket to where it is now comparable to a single-day ticket to the Magic Kingdom.
Okay, Harry Potter will do that to you.
Right, but now Universal is now more expensive than a single-day ticket to Epcot Studios or Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
That being said, they've also been doing some very interesting surveys of guests in Universal Studios, which, by the way, if a Universal team member ever approaches you and is like, hey, do you want to take a survey? Ask them how long the survey is, because some of them have surveys that last upwards of 25 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like, and you don't get anything for doing them either. Like,
that's,
if you're taking 25 though. Minutes of my time, give me like a $5 gift card. You know?
I would just say no up front.
No. Like, one time I was walking out. I was with my friends from the UK, and this one was like, sir, do you want to take a survey? And I'm like, yeah, sure, because I always do them in Disney because they take like 2 minutes.
Right. And, you know, in Disney, they always tell you the time up front.
Yeah, so. But the person said, they go, to their credit, they were like, just so you know, sir, this is going to take about 25 minutes. And I was like, oh, no, thank you. Goodbye. So anyway, they've been asking a lot of questions about My Magic Plus and Magic Bands.
Okay.
Like, what would you pay for wearable technology like this? So it looks like Universal is ready to create their version of My Magic Plus.
Interesting.
Now, to that, I'm like, well, then if you're doing that, the whatever the Universal Magic Band will be needs to be included in for resort guests, and it needs to be included for annual pass holders the way Disney does it. And I think at this point in time, you need to initiate some kind of fast pass system like Disney does, and not do this express pass garbage that you have to pay extra money for.
Right.
You know? I mean, you know, Universal has the market cornered on single rider lines. Because almost every major attraction has a single rider line, which I like.
You know, I would like to know the percentage at any given time in a Universal park, how many of these people are staying on property.
I mean, that number is going up, obviously. Like, Universal's attendance numbers and, like, approval rating is starting to rival that of Disney. So, you know, like, Comcast, as much as I hate that company with a fiery passion, it is, like, it's making a play.
Right.
So, I know. I mean, if Universal came out with, like, a My Magic Plus or, like Magic Band kind of technology, What would you think about that? Like, would you be like, that's a ripoff, or would it be like, good, it's a good idea, every theme park should use it, or?
Well, again, when am I going to use it?
Well, that's another good question.
You know what I mean? Like, here's my thing. Like, so, like, let's say it's primarily used by people who are staying on property or who have annual passes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to go for a day, am I going to be using this?
Good question.
Or is this going to be seen almost as a reason for me not to go? Well, I don't have that, and I can't get that.
Right.
And it gives the other people such an advantage that, you know what? I'm just going to stay in Disney, because the lean, for, you know, for me at least, is always going to be Disney. So I go to Universal maybe every couple of years when I kind of feel like, oh, I haven't done that in a while.
Right.
But if they ever made it to the point where it was like, oh, well, you know, I don't have the same kind of advantages because I don't go there all the time, or I'm just going for 1 or 2 days, mm-hmm. then it would be not hard at all for me to be like, I don't really need to do that.
I guess that does make sense.
And there's no way they can alienate that person.
And you know what? And I picked up two people when I was Uber driving the other day. I picked up a couple that were I picked them up at the Magic Kingdom at the TTC, and I drove them to a Universal Resort, and it was so weird because they were the opposite of pretty much everyone that I know, because they were like, oh yeah, we come every year, we stay at Universal, we go to Universal, and we do Disney for one day.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, this person exists. So I mean, I guess the resorts. I think like we need to talk to Dave and like learn a little bit more about these Universal resorts. You know.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. So that is the news for this week.
That's some news.
Some news. We had every category this week.
I like when we have every category.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so we are going to take a quick commercial break. We are going to hear from our sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network. And then we'll be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More 2 Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of 2 Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of 2 Men and the Mouse. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookandwookie.com. The Cook and Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookandwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Sonny Eclipse, and you're listening to Two Men and a Mouse.
The spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
Folks, we've often discussed the fact that Walt Disney World at night is a completely different experience than Walt Disney World during the day. In fact, early on, Pete and I did an entire e-ticket attraction based on this phenomenon called Disney After Dark, where we talk about all the wonderful things that you can do at nighttime. But one of the things that Disney does more than anyone else is light up the night sky and the nighttime atmosphere with evening shows and spectacles, whether it's in the Magic Kingdom, Disney Hollywood Studios, Epcot, or very soon to be Disney's Animal Kingdom with the Rivers of Light. Nighttime shows and spectaculars are one of the biggest draws to Walt Disney World. And that is why this week, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are detailing our top 10. I love those top 10 lists. Top 10 Disney nighttime shows. And so, you know, we polled you guys. We're going to read some of your responses later on. But very, very excited about this list, Pete.
We like any kind of list, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, top 10 lists always one of our most popular e-ticket attractions. I'm super excited at this one. So nighttime shows, I mean, this is a big one for a lot of people.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm not, you know me, I'm not even a crazy nighttime show person.
Right.
I see them, but I don't go crazy for them. I can't tell you how excited I am about Rivers of Light. I don't know why, but I'm really excited about
because
it.
Because you've never experienced Animal Kingdom.
Right. It has to be it.
It's a new experience.
It makes me want to talk about all the other ones.
Right. And like, and if Magic Kingdom were doing, we're like, Wishes is going away, we're doing a new show, like you'd be super like stoked about that.
Yeah, but I think this is even more. Yeah. You know, if Wishes was going away, you'd be like, oh, they're going to replace it with another fireworks show.
Right.
This is something we've never seen before.
Yeah, it's going to be like a whole new kind of experience.
Right.
So number 10, we went with something that was... it's number 10 because only one of us have seen it, and that one being me. We're going with a Hard Ticket Event show here. It was from Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party this year. It's probably my favorite live show I've ever seen in Walt Disney World.
That's saying something.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that is the Hocus Pocus Villain Spectacular that happened at Cinderella Castle during Not So Scary this year.
What about them?
Yep. Leave our not-so-scary friends to me. I put a spell on them.
You're mine.
You can't stop the things I do.
I lied. Ah, it's been 300 years, right down to the day. Now the witch is back, and there's heck to pay. I put a spell on you.
You had three women playing the Sanderson sisters from the Disney Halloween movie Hocus Pocus, and I mean they were outstanding singing, outstanding acting, great nostalgia kicks back to the original film, and then you had Disney villains like you had Dr. Facilier do a song, you had Oogie Boogie do a song, Maleficent popping up, and then all the other thing I really liked was a lot of the Disney villains being face characters for the first time.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I wish I saw this.
Yeah, like Jafar was a face character.
Yeah,
Hook was a
you
face
said that.
Yeah, Hook was a face character. Pretty sure the. No, I don't think maybe the Queen of Hearts wasn't in it. No, but yeah, Jafar and Hook were both face characters, and you know they close it out with this awesome rendition of "I Put a Spell on You," and the girl who played Winifred channeled Bette Midler. Like it was, and she sang it live too. And
oh, that's
like,
cool.
It was like listening to Bette Midler. Like if this woman had been understudying Bette Midler on that Broadway show when Kramer plowed through her at the softball game,
right?
The Korean ladies that Elaine took to the show would not have been mad.
Oh, that's funny.
A little Seinfeld reference for all you guys. So number nine has the distinction of being the one item on the list that I actually really don't like very much.
Okay.
Number nine, and I'll explain why I don't like it in a minute. It's wonderful, but it's just not for me because of reasons. Is the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Magic Kingdom proudly presents our spectacular festival pageant of nighttime magic and imagination in thousands of sparkling lights and electro-synthemagnetic musical sounds, the Main Street Electrical Parade.
I don't get this.
Why I don't like it?
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
It's cool. It's neat. It's got, like, that Pete's Dragon Float's pretty cool.
It's my favorite thing in the whole thing.
But it's not Spectrum Magic. So you want to know the other thing that really bugs me about this one?
Yes.
The music, it's the same thing. Like, it's literally, like, the same. That music just goes on and on and on. And it just gets stuck in my head, and I can't handle it.
Yeah, I like it.
Because you don't live here, and you don't go to Magic Kingdom at night all the time, and get stuck all the time because of that parade. Like the other night, I was trying to get to the castle because I wanted to do Celebrate the Magic, and I'm stuck right by Sleepy Hollow, and I'm literally packed in for people, so I can't like turn around. And that little side alleyway going back towards Fantasyland where you proposed to Heather is right. Closed off. And I can't cross the street. So I'm literally stuck, sandwiched between people, waiting for the electrical parade to pass. It bothers me.
All right. I get that. Listen, nothing's worse than being stuck. You don't want to watch a parade because you're stuck there.
I can't, like, that. And the music just plays in my head nonstop.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so, but you know what's really weird? That, like, Pete's dragon comes through, and they have, you know, Pete on top. Not you, but, like, you know, Pete from the movie. And he's got a live mic, and he's actually, like, talking to people as he like, rides by. And there were Pete fangirls in the crowd. Not you again. You know, Pete's dragon Pete. And they're, like calling out to him, and he's, like, talking back to them. Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
The Main Street Electrical Parade, I mean, if you've never experienced Spectre Magic, this is, like, one of the most incredible things you'll ever see. Because, I mean, it is very good. I don't mean to rip on it. I like when they have the donkey kids from Pinocchio come by dancing. I enjoy that because that's not something you see represented very often.
Right.
So, you know, I'm being unkindly harsh on it. Did you watch it this past trip?
We saw some of it.
You know, you can do the Macarena to the music.
I've never done the Macarena.
You can do the Macarena to the music and make it like the beat is the same as the Macarena.
Okay, that's a selling point.
Yeah. All right, so number eight, we are going back to a hard ticket event here. This is another parade on our list. So far, three in, and we've not had one single fireworks show, Pete.
Well, makes sense.
Yeah. And that is, again, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and it is the Boo to You Parade.
I love this.
Yeah, probably my favorite parade that still exists.
Yeah, I would say probably my personal list, this is much, much, much higher than eight.
Yeah.
But I get that we're trying to do the best ones here.
Right.
I really like this.
I do too. Boo to You, there's not many parades that get me to stop anymore. Like, I mean, I enjoy Festival of Fantasy because, like, the floats are just so outrageously amazing.
Right.
But, like, this one, I mean, I like that you have every different land and different attractions represented. You have a pirate's float. You have a Haunted Mansion float. You have a Frontierland float. Like, you have everything represented.
Yeah, it's all about that villain's float.
That villain's float towards the end is fantastic. Which I believe this year, the villain's float actually closed out the parade.
Yeah, it was the reverse of last year.
Yes.
Right? Didn't they have Goofy at the very end?
They always used to have Goofy at the very end. Like,
right, and now they didn't, right?
Yeah, no, now they didn't. Now the villains close it out. With their, it's good to be bad, it's good to be bad, like that. And the music is one of the, like, you want some music that's stuck in your head. I don't mind when Boo to You gets stuck in my head, because I enjoy the Boo to You, Boo to You.
Well, we listened to it in the car for about 6 weeks, so, yeah I would say you get a little burnt on it, but you kind of don't, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I really, really enjoy Boo to You. Hitchhiking Ghosts are in it.
Yeah, that's great.
I like the guys that dance with the shovels.
They're crazy with the sparks on the ground.
Yeah,
love it.
I mean, there's no part of Boo to You that I don't enjoy. And the Headless Horseman in the beginning.
Yeah, do they still do that?
You know, I didn't notice it this year, but it was raining, so maybe they opted to not take him out. But I did always enjoy in the past when he was there.
I got that.
Number seven is actually, I could have made an argument for number seven to be my number one, but again, much like Boo to You, it should have been much higher on my personal list, but we're not trying to go for our personal favorites. We're trying to go for what we think is the best. Number seven is, I think, the most unique. It's one of the simplest, most unique, but most amazing spectacles you'll witness. That is Celebrate the Magic.
Yeah, you love Celebrate the Magic.
Hey, you don't want to know the craziest thing, Pete? You know the first time I saw Celebrate the Magic live?
Tell me.
Last week.
Oh, so that's why it's so much on your radar.
I mean, I had seen it, like on like YouTube videos and stuff, but like, I don't know, man. Like, when Walt appears on the castle, like, you're like,
right.
Oh my gosh.
Is that really him?
Mm-hmm. He's huge. He's back. But he was like Zordon from Power Rangers. Like,
right.
With a big floating head. No, but I digress. It was just lights, how you can take Cinderella Castle and turn it into this, like, whatever you want to turn it into. I was a little upset. I thought they were going to turn it into the big pink birthday cake, but they didn't.
Right.
Maybe they're trying to forget about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure everybody wants to bring that back.
Yeah. But what is your favorite portion of Celebrate the Magic?
Huh. I mean, the wall part's cool, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So would it be the wall part for you?
Probably, just because you know how I am about Walt.
For me, no contest. It's the Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, I do love the Wreck-It Ralph part.
Cool. For me, like, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, like, up to that point. And when they hit that Wreck-It Ralph scene, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you know, that's when I'm like, oh, you know, Wreck-It Ralph's a little, maybe underrated.
It's 100% underrated. I love it.
You know,
that.
With all the cool stuff we've had of recent with Frozen and all those, it's like, huh. Sometimes I forget. I saw Wreck-It Ralph in theater and loved it.
Wreck-It Ralph is a good time. You don't have to be a gamer to like it, but if you're a gamer, it's that much better.
Yeah, there's tons of little nice nods for you in there.
Not to get off topic, but I'm still shocked that Universal got the contract for the Nintendo theme park. I thought Disney had that in the bag because of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I get
that. They had so many Nintendo characters in that movie, like with Bowser and... You know, now it's Sonic being kind of a Nintendo character.
Right.
I don't know. I thought they were going to, you know, have it, but they don't. Okay, so Celebrate the Magic. I mean, honestly, could have been my number one. I really, really, truly enjoyed it. Oh, my other favorite part is when they do the Tangled floaty lanterns.
Yeah, that's good. Does that have the Brave part in it, too?
No, there's no... I didn't see a Brave part.
I don't know what I'm thinking of.
I mean, there's, like, an adventure part where, like, Buzz Lightyear comes out, and then it's the pirates, and then, like... Ugh, it's awesome. Now, is that something you could include Marvel in?
I don't think so.
Really? Can't even do it there?
Nope.
You can put Star Wars in it at this point.
Well, you just put whatever you want, Star Wars.
Yeah. But like they have like the pirate sword fighting on it. They do like the love montage at one point.
You see
the silhouettes of Lady and the Tramp kissing. All very heartwarming stuff, Pete.
I do love it.
All right, so number six is again we're going back to a hard ticket event. We're going back to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for the last time, because now this says something about Not So Scary, because all three of its nighttime shows have made it onto this list.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, and that is number six is Hallowishes, which is our first fireworks show of the list.
Serpents and spiders, tail of a rat, call in the spirits wherever they're at.
When you hear the knell of a requiem bell,
we're ghost king where the spirits dwell.
Restless bones etherealize.
Lies are spooks of every size.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
When the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake, spooks come out for a swing and wake.
Heavy haunts materialize
and begin to vocalize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
honestly, again, probably my favorite fireworks show of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I love Hollowishes.
Yeah. Hollowishes is, it's tremendous.
It's probably the music, though. I mean, you know, it's such a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I love that it's hosted by the ghost host. But, I mean, I don't know. I get, like, a sense of, like, you know me. I love the villains, and it's all about the villains. And, yeah, honestly, I do think the soundtrack has a lot to do with it, but still, I'm with you.
Right.
Anything else about Hollowishes?
I mean,
the fireworks are timed very well with the music in Hollowishes. I do.
Yes. If I could spend one day in Disney, you know, it would be a day where I could go to the Halloween party.
Yeah, I agree. Number five. Now, this one might actually shock a few people that it's so high up on the list, but we're going for it. Number five is Fantasmic. Now, I know what you're all thinking. Fantasmic, that could have totally been number one, right?
Or number 21.
Or number two.
It's polarizing.
Yeah. Fantasmic, for me, it's number five because it needs to be updated.
I agree.
We spend so much time on Pocahontas and nobody knows what it is.
Right.
Like, come on, guys, update it.
I agree. By the way, rained out tonight.
Did it really?
Yeah, my friend was online for it as we're doing the show, and he's bummed out that it got rained out.
Yeah, you know what? It was raining pretty hard here, so I'm not shocked by that. But yeah, so I mean, when's the last time you sat through Fantasmic?
We did it. We didn't do it this trip. We did it last trip.
Okay. And were you like was it still that sense of like awe of it, or like your son? I
hadn't done it in a while. We loved it.
I do love it. I really, really enjoy it. Like I said, the Pocahontas thing, it's just like a little like, hey, is that blonde Aladdin up there? Like, nobody knows who John Smith is. Like, and they spend an exorbitant amount of time on it.
Yeah. I was surprised because it's been so long since I did it.
Mm-hmm.
That I was like, oh, I'm sure they've changed some things.
No.
Nope.
Nothing. Nothing has changed. I mean, I like the Snake Jafar portion of it. I love the Maleficent Dragon.
Well, that's the best part.
Yeah. But it's cool to see Mickey in that environment, too, you know?
Yeah, of course. I love when he raises his arms and, like, you know, the splashes. It's cool.
Disney's been doing a thing now where, like, every month they live broadcast a nighttime show. So they did it with the Christmas fireworks and parade. They did it with the Symphony and the Star Wars fireworks. And this past month, they did Fantasmic. And, you know, our buddy Rufus is always the MC of it. And I don't actually know his name. I'm just calling him Rufus. And, you know, our group, like, live comments along with it. It's always really fun to watch. But they started it off, you know, like the very beginning where Mickey's dancing around to the...
Of course.
They are tight in on a shot on Mickey, and you can't see the water jets that he's controlling. So literally, you just see Mickey pointing and see him, like, bopping around, but you can't see what's happening. And that's when I turned it right off. I was like, oh, nope, not doing this.
Oh, that's no fun.
Yeah. Like, what's the fun if you're not seeing, like, the water jets coming out?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. The other thing I like about Fantasmic, though, is it blends pyrotechnics with the live action so well, and it is a multi-layered show. You've got the main stage where, like, you know, Mickey's usually hanging out. You've got, like, up on the tippy top where, like, Pocahontas and John Smith go. And then you've got the water where people come through on the boats.
Yeah.
In the skiffs. I like that a lot. And, I mean, the best part of it is when Steamboat Willie comes in at the end.
Now, I mean, when we were young, that show was every day, twice a day, right?
Speak for yourself, Pete. I'm still pretty young.
And then didn't budgetary constraints kind of pushed it back to...
I believe so.
Not every day. What's the schedule like on that now?
I mean, right now, I'm pretty sure it's every day, twice a day.
Oh, it is. It's back to that.
Yeah, I mean, every time I go, Fantasmic is happening. And usually it's like... During the busy times, there's a 7:30 show and like a 10 and like a 10 o'clock show or something like that.
I remember for a while it was like, doesn't it down to like 2 days the week?
Yeah, no, for a long time you had to kind of schedule your day around Fantasmic because you didn't know when it was going to be. But pretty much every time I've gone to studios, they're doing Fantasmic now, so I'm pretty sure it's an everyday occurrence again.
Well, now it should be. There's not a whole lot to do.
Well, yeah, you can't really take that away too. I have heard rumors though that it's going away.
Really?
I've heard rumors because, like, you couldn't make fast passes for it, like after a certain point in time this year.
Huh.
So
it's going to be replaced with, like, a Jar Jar Binks water show?
Yes, Jar Jar's Nighttime Spectacular.
Oh, I would love that.
Misa make the water go ups ups.
It's like a Gungan Nighttime Spectacular?
Yeah, they come out of the water and they're, like, all
that'd
like,
be awesome.
Being crazy and... That's when they reveal that Jar Jar is actually a Sith Lord.
Oh, stop.
Ahmed Best trolled the internet by like being like, well, you know, it's nice to see after all these years the truth finally comes out. I'm like, oh, Ahmed Best, you hate us all.
I wonder what that guy does now.
Probably sits around and watches episode one.
Well, that's what I do. But
yeah. Do you have the Friends DVD box set sitting on top of your...
You know, let me tell you something. My job is so weird. People tend to come in and give me things that they think I might want. Someone gave me every season of Friends for some reason on DVD.
It's on Netflix.
I have never. I don't like Friends.
No, Friends is awful. Awful, awful, awful. It's like, if you ever wanted to watch a show about the five worst white people that have ever lived, like, Friends is your show.
And it's in standard def. I mean, I really don't need to own it, but, you know, this is... You know,
like if you like watch Friends now with a critical eye, like, they are terrible people. At least, like, on Seinfeld, like, they were, like, decent people. Or, no, like, they were bad people, but they made no bones about it.
Right.
Like, I rewatch Friends, and I'm just like, oh, God, oh, they are the worst.
I applaud you for rewatching it.
Well, I mean, like, you know, back when it was on, back when I actually watched live TV, and it was like, really long.
Right.
Yeah, wow, so that every season of Friends, what are you going to do with it?
I don't want to tell you.
Pop it on here?
No, I was going to throw them in the garbage. I just thought you'd be like, that's so wasteful, but I agreed on my use for them.
Why don't you pop it on eBay? Someone will buy it.
Who's buying 10 watched new seasons of Friends?
If you make 25 bucks for it, it's 25 bucks a year now.
Yeah, no. There's also season one of Supernatural on there, which I do like.
But again, it's on Netflix.
I own it already, so.
Right, it's on Netflix. Like, are they like, Pete, do you want to buy this? Like, is it like Comic Book Men?
No.
And Rogue Comics?
No. People are like, hey, one guy, he always brings me like DVDs. He's like, you should watch this. And typically it's like, you know, kind of critical stuff that I'm like, ooh, okay, yeah, you know, I'll give that a shot. And then one day he was just like, oh, no, I have these DVDs of Friends. I thought you might want them. And I was like, oh.
If you ever get anything that you're going to throw out, ask me first if I want them, because I might want them.
Do you want 10 seasons of Friends?
No, that I don't want. But, like, if there's ever anything in the future, ask me.
My garbage, you know, it is true. Like, one man's garbage is another man's, you know.
Yeah.
Treasure.
Okay, so ready to move on to number four?
Yes.
I caught sight of, like, David Schwimmer, and I was like, what?
Yeah, we should just edit this part right out of the show.
Yeah. Okay, so number four is, number four I think is your favorite on the list.
Okay.
And that is Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. We'll be right back.
I do love Illuminations.
I know. You're an Epcot guy. You like Illuminations. I love Illuminations. I typically, since I've been down here, to be perfectly honest, I have not watched a full Illuminations.
Okay.
The only time I was with a group where we were, like, at Illuminations, I kind of just sat in the Mexico Pavilion and ate guacamole the whole time.
Makes sense.
But, I mean, it is a pretty tremendous show. And I like that they've kept it technologically relevant. Like the green, like the old green laser lights are gone. They're like newer now. They're like blue, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I love the globe. I like, you know, even though I can't exactly see everything going on with the globe, I enjoy it.
I like what they're going for.
Yes, and I like how all the different pavilions are lit up. And that's why, I mean, I firmly believe that the only real place to watch Illuminations is from Future World.
You know, if you're over in, like, Canada, you can get a good...
Yeah, I suppose. But, like, I just like being able to see all of the pavilions lit up and, you know...
I know what you're saying. I agree with that.
All those barges, the fire. I mean, Illuminations is can't miss, and it has been for years.
Right. Who doesn't like fire?
I mean, and you know what? Rather than see them be like, we're going to take away Illuminations and put in a brand new show, I'd rather it be like, we're going to keep doing Illuminations, but we're going to add drones to it. Like, that's what I want.
Right. I get that.
Like, I just want updates to Illuminations. I don't want a new show.
Yeah, that's why I think the idea of, like, the drones with Illuminations, man, that sounds like it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm all for the drones. All right, so ready for anything else you want to add about Illuminations, or are we ready to move on to number three?
I think we can move to three.
All right. Number three is actually my number one, and that is, but, you know, I tried to make this number one, Pete wouldn't hear of it. No, but you were right. It shouldn't just be favorites. It's got to be what's best. But number three is an extinct show. You've heard me mention it a bunch of times. It was the song that opened up this segment. It is Spectrum Magic.
This magic night, a million stars will play beside us, cast a spell of light. Glimmering, shimmering, carouseling round the world tonight. A symphony in spectral magic, pure enchantment.
You love spectral magic.
Spectral magic's amazing. And I, you know, like, the song is so good. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 the spectra magic. Those are the words. I really, really enjoy spectra magic. I liked that. Remember, like, the spinny guys that came through?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I thought the floats were better. That Chernabog float.
Yeah.
But I mean, here's the thing. Like, part of me is like, in 5 years, Spectrum Magic will be back.
Yeah, why not?
They destroyed all the floats.
Oh.
Yeah, like when they brought back Main Street Electrical, it's like, well, they had that Pete's Dragon float sitting in the back, like, collecting dust. Like, someone that I know very well has a piece of the Chernabog float. They broke it and shattered it and, like, sold off, like, pieces of it.
Huh.
So those floats are gone. They'd have to rebuild them from scratch.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the clock tower burning down in the Universal exhibit.
Yeah. The what?
You know, like, remember they had that fire at Universal?
No.
In California, and the actual clock tower from Back to the Future, like, it burned down. There is no more clock tower.
Wait, that was, like, there for a while? Like, Universal Studios, the theme park?
Yeah, they have, like, a tour. And, like, it was actually in the back, and I'm pretty sure it was at, it might have been at the actual filming Universal, and they had the clock tower. You could no longer save the clock tower,
because
it's gone.
Oh, you know, I'm determined to find the remains of Nickelodeon Studios at Universal now, because I used to love Nickelodeon Studios.
How's that working?
Well, I know part of it is now the Blue Man Group Theater.
Okay.
But I think there are other, like, buildings that still sit empty. I digress. But yeah, Spectrum Magic. I mean, remember, like, at one point Roger Rabbit was in Spectrum Magic when they were trying to make him a thing.
Oh,
Love Roger Rabbit.
Oh, so good. So good. Like, you got to miss Spectrum Magic.
I do. I like it.
Maybe bring it back, but put that Pete's Dragon float in there.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, it would fit. And, you know, Spectrum Magic also made more use of a lot of the Disney characters, I think. All right, moving on.
Yep.
All right, so number two is actually the newest show on our list.
Yeah, I have a little, love here. Like when Kevin, I mean, I know I just saw this.
Mm-hmm.
I know how new it is. Man, I love it. I love it.
I love it, too. It is the Symphony in the Stars fireworks, the Star Wars fireworks, over in Disney's Hollywood Studios currently.
Attention! We are here under the authority of Captain Phasma of the First Order. We have intercepted several transmissions from the Resistance in this sector, so it would appear we have traitors in our midst. If you know where they are hiding, give them up now, or risk us vaporizing all of you. Will you give them up?
No!
Then you leave us no choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tremendous. Like I've never seen a show match the music the way this one is.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I mean, I love when you hear like the TIE fighters and they're doing like the green jets to be like the TIE fighter, like lasers and whatnot. Oh, just absolutely amazing, breathtaking stuff. What were some of your favorite parts of it?
I like a lot of the Darth Maul quotes and stuff, and they go to a lot of the red fireworks.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool. Yes. I thought, you know, the music, I mean, I knew the music would be epic. I mean, we all love Star Wars music.
Good job, Mark,
you know, they montage it so well. But using the quotes, I thought was really fun.
Yeah, that was a nice little touch.
Yeah.
All right, well, for number one, I mean, there's one main eventer left. You all know what it is. Our number one is Wishes.
Possess a gift or two. One of them is this. They have the power to make a wish come true.
Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might. Have the wish I wish tonight. We'll make a wish and do as dreamers do.
Don't you look at us like that. It had to be Wishes. There was no way it wasn't Wishes. Stop it. I don't want to hear it.
I really think it had to be Wishes.
It did. I mean, we even like agonized, like, is it Wishes? Like, do we make it Wishes? It's Wishes.
I think so many things are built off of Wishes.
Yeah, like Hollow Wishes is like, it's part of Wishes. It's
right. How could it not be Wishes?
Wishes is the quintessential Disney nighttime show. It just is.
I agree.
It's why they built so many things around seeing Wishes. I mean, one of the draws of staying at a monorail resort is that you can see Wishes. They pump in the music. They sell $4.5 million homes in Golden Oak because you can see, like, and one of the draws of them is you can see Wishes from them.
You're charged the wishes tax.
Yeah, I'm... You know, they have the Top of the World Lounge, California Grill, major draw. You can see wishes. You can see wishes from Ohana. They do wishes fireworks cruises. There's no other nighttime show that gets that kind of attention.
Right.
And you know, like, what? Like, it's such a iconic score, too.
Yeah, you can't deny, you know, like it, don't like it. You can't deny how great the music is. I mean, it really makes it, you know, fantastic.
Wishes. Yeah.
Exactly what it sounds like.
I love the part in Wishes when the Evil Queen shows up.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. And again, like, if you've ever watched Wishes from Fantasyland, it's a completely different experience, and it's weird. Because fireworks are going off on either side of you.
I've seen Wishes from almost everywhere, you know, not purposely, just I'll be walking around and next thing you know, a firework is erupting above your head. Mm-hmm. So,
or suddenly you'll hear the sprinklers on, you'll be like, what is that? It's because they wet down Fantasyland beforehand. There was a cast member who had like a fairy princess wand in Fantasyland.
Right.
And was actually conducting Wishes and made it look like he was like, he was like making it happen with magic. And like, he must pull the Wishes shift like every night because he knew where every firework was going.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
It was so funny. Like, and I'm sure if anyone found out he was doing it, like from Disney management, they'd be like, hey, cut that out.
You're not part of the show.
Yeah. But you know what? Even like the blending of live action with it as well, when you have Tinkerbell fly, like that Tinkerbell fly through, I mean, come on.
I know. It's awesome.
It's totally awesome. You know that the window that she comes out of is only about 2.5 feet tall?
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. I mean, like, she's got to be tiny.
Yeah.
I could not imagine, like, not only to, like, jump out that window, but to still have the poise to be able to hit, like, the Tinkerbell poses the way she does.
Well, I mean, how many times do you think she's done it?
But everyone's got to have a first time.
Yeah, but I bet you it's not a whole lot of people who have done that job.
That's true. That's very true. Corinne from Mouselanias, like, I remember she knew, like, the exact height and weight someone needed to be to do it. But I don't remember it. It was very small, though. Okay, so you ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say on this topic?
Definitely.
Okay. This was a popular one among the announcers. Just to warn you.
How could it not be? This is like a big one, you know?
Kayla Battiello says Spectra Magic. Amanda Taylor says Boo to You. Typing that already has the song stuck in my head, and you just can't beat the Headless Horseman, Villains, and the Haunted Mansion Gravediggers. Michael Bobeichel says Still Love the Main Street Electrical Parade. Never gets old for me. It gets old for me, Michael. Leah Alton says, without a doubt, Spectra Magic trumps the Main Street Electrical. The soundtrack is so much more dramatic and pleasant to listen to than electrical music. I'm still broken up about its fate. Susie Levine Kinnon says, probably the Main Street Electrical Parade. There's nothing like that music. Jason Odegaard says, Boo to You by far. Then MSEP, Main Street Electrical Parade. Tiffany Walsh says, Fantasmic. Seth Berman, our friend, the photographer who was on the show talking about with us a couple weeks ago, said Main Street Electrical Parade, Wishes, Walt Disney World Electric Water Pageant, and Illuminations. I didn't include the water pageant, Pete, because I know you've never seen it.
Yeah, man.
It's also not like terribly like impressive. It's just cool. Oh, by the way, the one that I wanted to include but couldn't fit on the list was the Frozen fireworks.
Yeah.
They are pretty ridiculously awesome.
I know. I can't imagine them being better than Star Wars, though.
They're not better than Star Wars, which is what kept them off the list. But I did like how they melded live action in with...
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Kelly DiArezzo says, Wishes, the soundtrack always has me singing along, and the castle makes it all the more magical. Gigi Pistone says, Spectra Magic is my favorite parade, and Fantasmic is my favorite show. If we go seasonal, Boo to You, favorite parade, and happy hollow wishes for favorite show. Paula Cole says, Illuminations, awesome nighttime show, and the music is epic, and the ending always makes me cry. Megveg says, Spectrum Magic. Main Street Electrical Parade hurts to listen to, and I like the Boo to You parade, but I've never seen it live, so rest in peace, Spectrum Magic. As for things that are still around, Fantasmic. Christina Estrada says, Spectrum Magic and Fantasmic. Angie Ray Wright says Spectre Magic. I miss it so much. Katie Nelson says Fantasmic and Wishes. Joni Brooks says Main Street Electrical. Probably because my husband took me to Magic Kingdom just to see it, since I had never had a chance. Plus, everyone, the song comes on. Every time the song comes on, my son does the robot. That's pretty cute.
I like that. I like the robot.
Mm-hmm. Mike Nelson says Illuminations, hands down. Tim Elbing says Boo to You, Hollow Wishes, Illuminations, and then Main Street Electrical Parade. I knew Tim was going to try to include Disneyland stuff, so I made it a point to say no Disneyland in this.
Oh, that's so fine.
Yeah. Melissa Pigeon says, I love Boo to You, especially the Gravediggers and the ballroom scene, but also can't help getting a little choked up during Wishes every time. Bernie Lawson checking in says, Wishes first, then Spectre Magic. The electric water pageant is a close third. Krista Summers says Spectre Magic. Adam Blistein says Boo to You Parade, although I love Wishes and Illuminations. They both could use some updating. Tara Dawn says Wishes, Illuminations, Boo to You, and Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade. Katarina Dupre says, does Celebrate the Magic count? Of course it counts. And of course, Wishes. Both shows always make me cry. Katarina's been doing a great job filling in for Ann Ravanos over on the Extra Magic Hour podcast here on WDPN, alongside Dimitri, who was on this show a couple weeks back. So check it out. Cliff Barnes says, Fantasmic, and I'll always have love for the electric water pageant. Christina McSheffrey says, Wishes would be the one that makes me cry every time. Besides being a wonderful show, it also has a memory attached to it. I got engaged during it. But the Celebrate the Magic show is always so fantastic. Mike Fernandez says Celebrate the Magic is the best nighttime show. Amanda Welker says Main Street Electrical Parade. I have some amazing memories of my kids being amazed by that parade. It's changed colors. They flipped out. Tom Kita says Illuminations. Really long story as to why, but I'll leave that for you to I'll leave that to you whether or not to tell it. But if just for survey purposes, Illuminations without a doubt. Tony Stevens says, for me, it's Fantasmic. Mikey Weisenhunt says, Boo to You. It's the catchiest tune. The Gravediggers are awesome. Also, Hitchhiking Ghosts for the win. Kate Smith from Mousellaneous Discussion says, Wishes is my all-time fave. I love getting to see it every night when I work in Fantasyland. Hunter West says, Main Street Electrical Parade was the first time my three-year-old saw Mickey. Her face lit up brighter than the floats. Jillian Lassiter says, Celebrate the Magic and Spectre Magic. After my own heart. Scott Farney says Illuminations is the best ever. I love the music. The song Promises and the send-off music after the fireworks. Great show. Reminds us that we are all one race, the human race. Julie Hyland says Spectre Magic. Mark Berwick says Spectre Magic, the best parade ever, and I refuse to recognize the other parade they replaced it with. So sad. Also love Symphony and the Stars and the water pageants. Monica Pinto from The Mouse in Our House says, Wishes is just so magical, but the Frozen Summer fireworks were out of this world amazing. Kay Pern says, The Electric Water Pageant is my favorite. We saw it four times on our January trip. My cousin, Skipper Crispy, Chris Payonk, saying, Boo to You wins out alone for the Gravediggers. Spectre Magic comes in a close second for the music, and I'll never forget the night I rode the water pageant. You rode the water pageant?
Man, how mad does that make you?
I never heard that story. This kid's my blood. I never heard the story.
He was your blood.
Yeah, not anymore. Paul Tower Nikki says Wishes, but I like the projections on the castle more than the fireworks portion of it. Well, Paul, you're thinking of Celebrate the Magic. It's Celebrate the Magic and Wishes. A lot of people think Celebrate the Magic is part of Wishes. It's not. They're two different shows. Chris Probelski says, we've rewatched the Festival of Fantasy Parade from our trip about a million times. Okay, that's during the day, though.
Oh, DQ.
Oh, Chris, if I didn't love you so much. Franny McAllister says Spectre Magic. Still have the soundtrack. Illuminations is my overall favorite. And finally, Carrie Ann Rudolph says Wishes makes me cry every time. There you go. That's our friends around the world. They were a chatty bunch this week.
Yeah, good. We like that.
Yeah. All right, so anything else you want to add about any shows during nighttime? Other than that, we can't wait for Rivers of Light.
I'm really excited about that.
I am too. I will make sure that I'm there periscoping the first night of Rivers of Light.
You think we'll get any kind of Star Wars nighttime show? I don't mean fireworks or anything like that, but...
They have DJ Lobot during Star Wars weekend, but I don't know if that's ever coming back.
I love Lobot.
Can I tell you, I'm a little underwhelmed with Seasons of the Force thus far.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, they're kind of...
They're not doing anything.
they're literally wrapping up nothing and being like, hey, this is something. So, I mean, yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
I feel like Frozen Summer of Fun had more stuff.
Right.
Okay, so anything else you want to add this week?
That's it, I guess.
All right, well. That's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we love bringing you guys this top 10 list, and we love hearing what you guys have to say about it. So always make sure to check on Mondays for whatever our topic of the week is going to be so you can sound off over at facebook.com/groups/Two Men in the Mouse. And also please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men in the Mouse. We're on Twitter at Two Men in the Mouse, Instagram as at White Dragon PN. The White Dragon Podcast Network is also on Twitter at White Dragon PN, and we are on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@twomeninthemouse.com. We've got Dave White coming in 2 weeks, folks, so you know, just be ready for that. Send in those questions about Disney. And if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it. Tweet it out, talk it up, give it a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out tremendously, and it's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue in the upwards direction that it's been moving for the last 2 years, all thanks to you guys. If you love our great friend and co-host Peter Mandel, please make sure to check him out in person over in Rogue Comics at Cranford at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Pete always loves when people drop into his store and chat with him. And he's not on social media, folks, so the only way to discover that Peter Mandel is, in fact, a real person is to go to Rogue Comics.
You think I should start doing that social media?
I wouldn't complain if you did.
I'm always, you know, there's like a handful of things like I've never done.
I mean, even if you just did it to like pop into the group once in a while to like contribute to conversations.
I know. I do like contributing.
The listeners would get a huge kick out of it because like the one, like they're sick of me. They have like unlimited.
They're not sick of you.
They have unlimited access to me. They're sick of me. Like you remain the great unknown.
So you're saying that like I should step in to, you know, re-energize the return of Kevin Kessler? Like,
maybe. Yeah, right. Maybe like they need to get sick of you for a while, and then like I can come back.
Right.
Make this big grand return. All
right. Right.
I like this idea. All right, folks, and if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney park throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, or Universal Studios, Orlando's variety of resorts, please check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him dave@magicaltravel.com. He is our preferred official travel agent for Two Men in the Mouse, who's who Pete and I use for our trips as well. And folks, if you are looking to dazzle your next dinner party, check out some of the great recipes over at thecookinwookie.com. That is thecookinwookie.com. Folks, thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
You know, real fast, let me just tell you. You know, I sent home those Haunted Mansion statues, right, from Disney World.
Yeah.
Remember I told you I was going to buy them? I got three things broken. Totally broken.
No.
Yep, but let me say, this is, again, why Disney has been so fantastic working with me. They sent out my new ones today. I can't tell you how just great they are at, like, their whole return system, and it's wonderful. So,
that's wonderful.
You know, if you ever feel weird about bringing stuff home or even mailing stuff home, I'm telling you, they make everything so good. It's just fantastic.
Fantastic. All right, awesome. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week for the 100th episode of Two Men and the Mouse.